Sairam brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam Vishu brother.
So we have a lovely bhajan today, a bhajan which Bhagwan himself loved to sing, and it is all about delight, it is all about the joy of singing, isn't it? Anandame Sai Namame.
Oh, that's a beautiful bhajan.
Anandame Sai Namame.
Adbhutame.
Adbhutame.
Sai
Gitame. Akhandame. Jyotirmayame.
Sundarame.
Sai Rupame. It's like, you know, you can just take any one line and be lost in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every line is
potent
so,
with meaning, and
yes,
it relates to life so much.
Yeah, so much, right? I think every devotee can relate to it.
Yeah.
In at so many levels. Anandame, Sai Namame. I think for every Sai devotee, bhajans means Ananda, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know of so many Sai devotees who came to the lotus feet only through bhajans. You know, their draw to Bhagwan was bhajans. In fact, I remember Mr. Alan Levy. He is a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he goes to his friend's place, and that friend had put on a tape where Bhagwan's bhajans were going on.
Mm.
And the moment he heard that voice, something happened to him. He just could not resist.
He was in ecstasy.
He was in ecstasy. That voice captivated him so much that he said, I have to know who this
Swami's
person
voice.
Swami's voice.
Yeah.
It was Swami's voice singing, and that voice and that thrill, that joy, everything that he experienced was so magical that is how he was desperate to come and see Swami, and his journey to Prashanti began this way back in the 70s. And I mean, like that.
Yeah, Swami's voice itself is the most celestial voice.
Mm.
You can really, when you listen to his voice, it's not a human voice at all. You
yes.
know?
Shiva Shakti.
Shiva Shakti. It's,
yeah. Amazing.
So when I listen to this bhajan, the bhajan itself is set on a very morning melody, which invokes, you know, evokes the feel of the morning, the dawn, in fact.
Yes. Mm.
So the bhajan itself, you know, it's just like you greet the dawn.
Yes.
Or the dawn greets you back, you know, and says, beckons you and says that, come on, wake up, rise and shine, you know.
Mm.
And the whole world is waiting for you.
Mm.
A world of delight.
Mm.
Just waiting for you.
Yes.
So, Anandami.
Yes.
I'm reminded of, you know, a moment in Vrindavan when we were students.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you remember this, in 1979, the then Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Dr. Chenna Reddy, he sent some 900 primary school teachers to Swami, and Swami had agreed to train them up.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire training period was for 9 days. Mm-hmm. It was a 9 days training program.
Oh, wow. And like a mini summer course.
Yeah, it was like a mini summer course. Mm-hmm. And it was a summer course with the difference because none of these teachers knew what was in store for them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came, for them it was normal, one of those training programs, you know, that they had to attend as a part of their job. And we had to play host to all of them. So Swami had given us express instructions about what we should do, and the bhajan boys had to train up those who were enthusiastic about bhajan among these people.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, they would wake up right from 3 o'clock, they would be full of noise, you know. They would be all around the place looking for, and even smoking bidis.
Oh my God.
Smoking cigarette.
Mm.
And then looking
for. So they're all new to Swami.
Completely new to Swami. Not at all exposed to Bhagwan. And Swami said, let them be by themselves. Let them be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to control them and regiment them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it so happened that the first day we announced that those who are interested to sing bhajans can come, we'll teach bhajans.
Mm.
So we shared bhajans with a few of them, but music is so intoxicating, so inviting that, you know, within no time, There were a whole flock of them learning bhajans, and we taught them Manasa Bhajare and Krishna Krishna Manamohana. A few of those bhajans they learned, and they really loved the melodies, you know, the tunes. And every day, the only training for them, no lectures by any erudite scholar there, save one discourse of Bhagwan in the evening.
Okay. So
That was the only training in the Kalyan Mandapam. So in the evening they would wait throughout the day, they would have darshan, morning darshan session, and then we would take them on tour of the whole place, tell them how the university, how the campus runs, you know. And then in the evening they were given this wonderful treat by Bhagwan, and on one of the first day itself, in a very sing-song manner, Swami said, they narrated this beautiful story. He said, in a forest, there used to be a hermit. This is how Swami said. And the hermit's name was Varuna. And his son, he had a son named Bhrigu. And the son, finding his father all the time immersed in ananda, in joy, he wanted to know the secret of joy. So he goes to his father. So it all didn't sound like Swami didn't quote from the source. And Swami didn't say, because he never quotes from the source, and because he's the source. And he didn't say that this is from Bhrigu-valli, but he was describing the essence of the entire Bhrigu-valli of the
Upanishad.
And then he said, the son went to the father and said, please tell me, father, what is the ultimate bliss that you are enjoying, that you are experiencing every day? The father said, though I have experienced it, I can't tell you, because this cannot be explained in terms of words. So you go and find the same thing from the same source. It's open for everyone. You go and try. So the son went and tried and meditated for 1,000 years and goes back to the father and says that, I think annam brahmeti vitanat. So annam is Brahman. So it's food that gives you all the joy. So in a gross way, it's the food that gives you so much joy. When you are hungry, food gives you so much joy. Father said, you are nearer the truth. Go and try again. So the son tried for another 1,000 years and then went back to the father, and father said, he said, I think, father, I found the truth. Pranam Brahmeti Vyajanat. It is the life force which is Anandam. And then he said, ultimately, he said on the third attempt, father, it is the mind. So father said, you are almost near the truth. Why don't you try again? And then he went again and tried and came back and said, father, it is consciousness. Father said, try again. For the fifth time, when the son sat down for meditation, in silent contemplation, he was suddenly filled with there was a sudden spurt of joy from within and from without. He was completely in a sea. It was just like, you know, in a sea of joy. And that bliss was such that, you know, he didn't feel like coming back to the world of suffering, to the world of dichotomies. He just wanted to live there and there alone. And then there was no explaining. He was tongue-tied completely, and then he stopped going to his father. So Swami narrated this story, and the whole training program itself was replete with these. And Mr. Frank Baranowski, Dr. Frank Baranowski, also came at that time for the first time, and he said Swami created a ring for him. And the ring was an exact fit, as Swami would say it. And then Frank Baranowski was asked to speak. And for the first time, the first speech he made in the presence of Swami, he said, I have gone throughout the world and spoken in so many words about my discovery and my science. But today I know that I am in the presence of love walking on 2 feet. And I know that I cannot explain this. In fact, I feel like, you know, I know I'm in the very presence of my creator. And all those things he said.
The man with the Kirlian camera who could see auras. Yes.
Who could see auras, and he saw Swami's aura, and he said it envelops the whole universe and from earth to sky. So all these had a fantastic, you know, impact on the teachers. So I'll just tell you the final day. The ninth day, after the valid, it was going to be the valedictory day, and you know, we used to take out Nagar Sankirtan, and then go back and congregate near the gate, and Swami would appear on the balcony and give darshan. Wow. So that would happen only on Sundays and Thursdays, you know. But that particular day happened to be Saturday. Swami was not scheduled to give darshan. And these people, nothing, no one to stop them. They had already washed early in the morning. They had become so quiet. After the sixth day or something, these people became, this whole bunch of boisterous people, they became so quiet. And on the final day, these people had already taken their bath. They were already waiting there outside. And since that was a day when Nagar Sankirtan was not scheduled, they on their own started singing.
Oh.
Whatever songs they had learned from us, they sang. And it was just a few songs. And they repeatedly kept singing. And then they started walking towards Swami's gate, Swami's bungalow. No one could stop them. They almost gate crashed. And they stood there and kept crying and singing. I have never seen a spectacle like this in my life. I have never seen this happen. Mass human transformation.
Wow.
And then Swami did the most wonderful thing. He appeared on the balcony on a Saturday, not scheduled. And then he stood there. And then after Jai Bolo Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba Ki Jai, then they said, Swami asked them, "Are you happy? Then I give you two options, because from today you go home. Either you go home, or you can go for a tour of Mysore, or you can come with me to Prashanti Nilayam."
Oh.
And the whole group of them, like small children, like kids, they said, "Swami, we want to come with you to Prashanti Nilayam."
Wow.
"Swami, we want you to come to us." Some of them said, "Swami, we want to come and stay with you forever."
Wow.
And I have never seen this transformation of people in such a huge group. It was wonderful, a sight for the gods to come and see. So,
I mean, you can't explain the joy that you receive.
Yes.
From and what it does to you.
Yes.
Wow.
Anandame.
Anandame.
Sai Namame.
I mean, in fact, I'm also reminded of so many students also who joined Bhagwan's institutions, who were so attracted to the bhajans initially. Yeah. I mean, they were finding everything else so difficult to adjust, but bhajans is what just kept them glued to the place.
Exactly. Bhajan has been, I think, is the sole entry point of almost every devotee. And bhajan is one thing that makes us suddenly, you know, behave very puerile and childlike, you know. We become so childish. In the samitis, if you go, there are always people who say, "I'm not allowed to sing, I feel so bad." So bad and grumpy, you know. They are not allowed to sing. People who are in the 70s, 60s, you know, they feel sorry that they are not allowed to sing. So much interest in bhajan.
I think that's, and for so many devotees, life, it bhajans have just become the very main staple diet of their lives.
Exactly.
I mean, they live on bhajans.
They live on bhajans.
Never get tired of bhajans. Yeah. I mean, that is the revolution that Swami has brought in us, isn't it? I mean, in this Kali Yuga, as it was predicted by the ancient sages and saints, you know, when apparently one, when it was asked to Vyasa, when the sages of that time, they foresaw the times to come, and they saw that Kali Yuga is
the future.
The future, and they saw that Kali Yuga is so pathetic in the sense that the kind of things that you will expect in Kali Yuga to happen is something that had never happened in any other yuga. The way the
Kalaha, in fact, Kalaha Yuga.
I mean the violence, the treachery, the restlessness, the cheating, everything, you know. The dissonance in the family, in the society. I mean, we see that. I mean, you don't need
the whole flip side of life.
The whole, of ethical living. It has completely become topsy-turvy. And, you know, the sages and saints, they said, what will happen to this age? What will happen to this world? You know, and when they go, and they go to Vyasa just to ask him, you know, what will be the state of this world? They're very worried. And when they go to him, and apparently Vyasa was just coming out of his morning ablutions and bath, and then he just said, "Sadho, sadho." Mm-hmm. You know, when they mentioned Kali Yuga, and they thought, what is this? Sadhu means auspicious.
Auspicious.
No? Auspicious, auspicious. He said, we are talking about Kali Yuga, and you are telling Sadhu. He said, what are you talking? That is the most auspicious time. Because there was no time before that was so propitious and so easy to attain the Lord.
Yeah.
You can just simply utter the name and you can attain the Lord. And it was never this easy before. So in Kali Yuga, you might say whatever it is, but it is actually the most blessed time if you want to connect with God, because God is simply waiting, and with little effort.
Yes.
As Swami says, you take one step and I will come 99 steps.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way to do that is just with love, you sing his bhajans, chant his name, and you are filled with that bliss, isn't it? The bhajans fill us with bliss.
Exactly. And maybe, you know, the prevailing circumstances, as you said, the most difficult circumstances, ultimately will goad people into that mode, wherein, you know, you are driven up the wall, and then the only way to save yourself is sing the glory.
Yes.
Think about God, which is thinking about yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, this is one time which, in a, you know, all this negativity spiraling up,
yes,
it, you know, inspires those good thoughts in you.
Yes.
That you want a change.
Mm.
You know, either you, people, because people need a change. It's the essence of life.
Mm.
So either you change from, you know, bad to good or good to bad, you know. So maybe Kali Yuga in a way, in a very big way, inspires these good thoughts in people.
Yes.
And I think, you know, because when you, when people used to tell us that in the past there were saints who were, you know, filled with ecstasy, singing, extolling the virtue, you know, extolling the names of the Lord, you know.
Mm.
But a time has come wherein the masses are singing the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And I can tell you, today we were just talking about Raja Bahadur in Guntur.
Yes.
And I was telling you that his family itself, when I saw it, I said, it's a bhajan mandali.
His family is a bhajan.
The whole family is a bhajan mandali, right from the tiniest tot to the father, mother, uncle, everybody. They sit, take their harmonium, tabla, and most of the time they are singing bhajans. All the time, in fact.
Wow.
Nitya Nirantar. They are just singing bhajans.
Mm.
And, you know, what joy, what ecstasy they experience every day by singing bhajans. They love it.
Wow.
And they are compendium of bhajans.
Mm.
I really, I have reasons to believe that Raja Bahadur alone must be knowing close to 5,000, 6,000 bhajans.
Oh my God.
And culled out from all different sources. He outsources, he goes around, collects bhajans, you know.
Mm. Wow.
So that type of madness.
Madness.
Or bhajan.
Oh, yes. In fact, I remember in the first world conference also, if I'm not wrong, Swami said that, you know, you have to do Nagar Sankirtan. Swami said, this is how Jayadeva, Gauranga and Veera, and all these people, this is how they chanted the Lord's name, and, you know, and they purified the atmosphere and they led the masses. Swami is so insistent that you have to do Nagar Sankirtan.
Yes, yes.
You know, sing the name of the Lord fearlessly with gay abandon and with full-throated. And I think that is what, I mean, then you experience that joy. And all these devotees we are talking about, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, I think that's you know, they were just lost in
that. That reminds me of, you know, you remember those days we used to, the Nagar Sankirtan, as the tradition continues even today.
Yes.
But when we used to do the Nagar Sankirtan, we used to choreograph the whole Nagar Sankirtan, plan it out, all bhajans. It happens even today. It's going on, the whole tradition.
Mm.
And, you know, people used to flock near the Ganesha temple.
Mm.
When the men section would reach there, it used to be a huge swelling crowd of bhajan singers. And one day, after the bhajan, Professor Nanjundaya, he just called me aside and then told me, today you people were looking like Gauranga. So at that point in time, it didn't register. So I said, yes, sir. And he said that you should revel in that happiness, but then let it not get into your head.
Mm.
After all these decades, you know, when I think of those moments, you know, that just singing that bhajan, carrying a harmonium and singing bhajan in Nagar Sankirtan, you know, took you to the status of a Gauranga, of a saint like, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Though definitely we were miles and miles and miles, you know, away from that status. Mm. But just by singing a bhajan. You know, people feel that way.
Yeah,
people get that feel out of you.
Yes.
So we are on the pathway.
Yes, yes. Know, in fact, I think that's what happens, you know, every time when Swami is singing bhajan and you join, you forget everything else. Or even forget that, even when you go to a center, for that half an hour when you're in a bhajan session, you have forgotten everything else that is happening with you, around you, in your family, in your profession, in your office, isn't it?
Exactly.
I think at least we have experienced that joy of just being with Swami, connected through music. And that joy is something that you can't get with anything that the world can give.
Exactly.
And I think that is what Swami is telling, Anandame Sai Namami. You have to get into it. Then you will know that this is what is Ananda. It's a Telugu song. Anandame Sai Nama is Ananda. That's what
Sai Nama is Ananda.
That is what is Ananda. Hari Vajanavina Sukha Shanti. That is what is.
That Ananda also, I just feel tempted to add one more beautiful thought, you know. When we were in the presence of Bhagwan, you remember in the morning during bhajan, during darshan, people would be just waiting for his darshan. And the moment Swami would appear there, all faces would light up.
Yes.
There is so much joy. And when Swami would come near you, there is no reason or rhyme why you are so happy that day, that moment. Just his presence next to you, and you are filled with that ecstasy, you know. You forget everything. Sometimes you forget even to tell him what you had planned to tell him.
Yeah.
You know, that Ananda. Yes. He is the very epitome of that Ananda, that unqualified bliss.
I think that's what happens in a bhajan. You connect with that source of all bliss. That's why you are so blissful.
Yes.
Wow.
That first line itself of this bhajan is so powerful. No wonder Swami sang it.
Yeah.
Because when Swami sings it, it's a message.
It's a message.
It's a teaching.
Yes.
It's a tenet.
And as you go to the second line, Adbhutame Sai Gitame, I mean, every message, as you're talking about, message, I mean, as Krishna gave one Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and that was through Arjuna he gave it to entire mankind. But I feel what is happening now is Swami is giving this Sai Gita.
Sai Gita.
Bhagavad Gita is now a Sai Gita which is coming from every heart. Within every heart, Swami is telling every devotee what they should do.
Yes.
Because his message is tailored.
Exactly.
To every person. In fact, yesterday I was talking to the conductor of the adult choir in Christmas 2017. And she's actually from Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia. And later Yugoslavia broke up into different countries. And, you know, she was there during the 93-94 when the war happened, Bosnia war. And, you know, it was a very, very tragic moment for her. She lost all her near and dear ones. She lost her mother. She lost her father. She lost her grandmother, you know. So it was a moment that was too much for her to
whole family wiped off
to handle. And you know, she started searching for answers in life. She started asking for all these questions in life, you know. In a communist country, they never believed in anything to do with God or things after life, you know. But she was always open-minded, and that's when she started reading the Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is what gave her so much solace. And then slowly she somehow escaped and moved to Brazil. And, you know, started a new life, and there are so many beautiful things that happened after that. But I was just thinking, you know, and later on, of course, she came to India and she went to Kerala, and there in the Kovalam beach, she's just sitting there and she's just marveling at the immensity of the ocean, the infinity of the horizon, and, you know, she just lost at what she's seeing. And she's thinking, my God, our planet is so amazing. And she's lost in the glory of the creation. And suddenly, a flash of light appears. And she sees a dash of orange. And she sees Swami appearing there.
Oh,
and then Swami says, everyone's path is different. Everyone must walk the path alone. Swami tells that to her. And that's what shakes her. And she comes immediately to Puttaparthi. And there is, of course, the story goes on. But, you know, this Bhagavad Gita, you know, he's giving a message to everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's happening. And it is happening in the most amazing manner. Adbhutame. And the way Swami gives his message to every person, it's really Adbhutam, isn't it?
Really.
Every person's journey.
Because when he, in his message, it doesn't follow a convention. His style is so different.
Yes.
The way he relates to humankind is so different. to a tiny tot, right from a small child in the primary school, to a philosopher, to a person who is very well read, you know, a pandit. For everyone, he relates to each person in a different manner, and the way in which he teaches also is different. Everything is adbhut about whatever he does. His rupam, rup is so adbhut. Everything that he speaks is adbhut. His gait is adbhut.
Oh yeah.
You know? Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow.
His life is adbhut. The way he lived in that small room, measuring 10 feet by 10 feet, I think.
Oh yeah.
And no fan, living a very Spartan life.
Yes.
Although he is the Lord of the universe.
Yes.
But nothing mattered to him except the redemption of humankind.
Absolutely. Well, that's how, I mean, when he says my life is my message, I think that is something we have to analyze with so much of depth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Only then we'll draw those lessons. I think that was something very, very phenomenal when you think about his life.
Because we have to see the message in his life.
Yes.
Then alone we can understand the depth, the gravity of it.
I mean, that's what he is giving, this Bhagavad Gita, the message to each one. But every gesture, every moment, everything that he was doing was constantly only giving messages.
Exactly.
He was constantly giving messages. He was not someone like, you know, in a setting that, you know, only Bhagavad Gita, he was giving one message. But it was like constantly, messages are constantly coming. And they continue to come.
Yeah.
You have to only tune.
I still remember once, you know, when a speaker was giving his talk. And then it was a slip of the tongue when he said that Swami's interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita, and Swami sharply stopped him and said, I don't interpret the Bhagavad Gita. I relive the Bhagavad Gita. It is Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Retaught once again. Yes.
Wow.
Relived once again, re-spoken once again.
Wow.
So it's not, what I speak is Gita.
Mm.
That's what Swami said.
Wow. Adbhutame Sai Gitame Akhandame Jyotirmayame.
Akhandame Jyotirmayame.
I think here Swami always told us, you know, that you are not that body.
Yeah.
But that he always wanted us to break that consciousness of identifying ourselves with the body.
The mind and the intellect.
And and I think Bhagwan is what he is, because he never identified himself with the body. He was that limitless.
Yeah.
And he
absolutely
all the time told us to identify ourselves with that limitless. I think that is what you are, the light that Swami was saying all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And Akhanda Swami was, you know, once during before the Akhanda Bhajan, Swami was telling the students about the meaning of Akhanda.
Mm.
And he said that, you people, you know, we are out of our being very finite and very limited. Swami calls us private limited company. So, he said that everything that you do also is segmented.
Hmm.
But you should understand that in life in its essence is a continuity.
Hmm.
Even life beyond life,
yes,
you know, beyond death also is a continuity.
Hmm.
So it's a one seamless continuity. You should understand that everything is that way, one single whole, a totality. So that absoluteness of everything, that Swami would all the time say, and Swami would say that you have to, between two bhajans, I don't want even a small crevice, like, you know, a small interruption. Bhajan should flow uninterrupted.
Yes.
From one bhajan to another bhajan, the transition should be so smooth. Mm. It should be such a smooth transition that people shouldn't be, the train of thought, thinking should not be disturbed.
Yes.
So from one bhajan to another bhajan, and Swami would look at us and say that, you know, if there would be, and we would be so careful to stitch the bhajans together in such a way that without leaving any gap, we would sing.
Wow.
It was a way of telling us that, you know, whatever you do in life also should be very, should relate to each other.
Yes.
What I do now should, you know, be in relation to what I thought, what I did sometime back.
Mm.
You know, Everything is a continuity.
And I think what you're saying is so amazing. You know, many times we think about Akhanda Bhajan is when we do 12 hours continuous bhajan or 24 hours continuous bhajan. But here Swami is telling every bhajan is actually Akhanda Bhajan.
Akhanda Bhajan.
Because it is a Akhanda period of time when you're fully concentrated on the divine.
Yeah.
Even if it is for half an hour,
yeah.
Swami does not want that even between one bhajan and the next, for a few seconds, mind should go anywhere else.
Exactly.
It should be for that half an hour, it should be Akhanda.
Yeah.
Akhanda concentration.
Yeah.
On the Lord.
Yeah.
Uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted. Wow. But then Swami takes it also, don't you feel, Swami takes it to the next level.
Yes.
By saying that, imagine if there is an interruption in your breathing.
Mm.
When you breathe, if there is an interruption, you would land up in the hospital.
Mm. Yes.
Or you would be asthmatic, whatever.
Mm. Mm.
So, life is a continuous, you know, shrinkhala.
Yes.
It's a chain of breathing.
Yes.
With metronomic precision, you have to breathe. You pulsate, you breathe. So that is life. And, there's no interruption there. And like that, if every breath could be translated in terms of, interpreted in terms of the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So the entire life, every breath that we take is a continuity of singing the glory of the Lord. So you don't need to sit and do additional bhajan or extra meditation because life itself becomes a meditation.
Yes.
How many times Swami would say, don't be a singer, be the song.
Yes.
So that continuity.
So life should become the melody.
Yeah.
His melody.
Exactly.
Life should become the melody of His glory. Wow.
Absolutely.
Sundarame Sai Rupame. I mean, the superficial way is, okay, Swami is so beautiful.
Yeah.
That is there. I mean, that is the reason why, you could never take your eyes off His beautiful form. But I think Swami always wanted us to see beauty in everything, see Him in everything, and see that beauty that is not of this world, isn't it?
Absolutely. It takes me back in time. When one day Swami was reclining on His divan in the safe room in Vrindavan. And that day, Swami started picking on the elderly people there. Started with Professor Kasturi.
Mm.
And he said that, why do you have a hunchback?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you sit like that? Your position is not right. You should sit upright. Your spine straight, Why you look very old. Then Swami said, age-wise, if you look at him, he's hardly a few years senior to me.
Mm.
But then he looks so old and haggard. Mm. Then what about you? What about you, everybody?
Mm.
Then Swami looked at me.
Oh.
And Swami said, you look so old. Then Swami pointed at himself and said, then Swami said, how beautiful I look, tell me.
Mm.
Very few times in my life I have heard Swami describe Himself in such glowing terms. And Swami said, how beautiful I look. And then He started describing right from His hair, the shock of hair, the crown of hair.
Wow.
Then He said, what about the vrikuti, the hole, in between His eyes.
Okay.
The space in between His eyes. He said, look at it, how beautiful it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look at His eyes
the
are beautiful.
Bhrumadhyā.
Yeah, the Bhrumadhyā sthānam, we don't even, bother to see.
Mm.
Then He said, look at the mole on my cheek.
Mm.
It's in the right place. Look at my nose, everything well proportioned.
Mm.
And then Swami said that day, look at the vyanjana on my neck.
Uh-huh.
The mark of divinity on my neck.
Oh.
Nobody, we had not cared to see it, but then there were three marks, three lines on His neck.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that, and in later times, we could see it more.
Oh.
When He started growing, aging, at that time we would see it, but it became more and more prominent.
Mm.
And then He said, look at my body, my figure.
Mm.
I always maintain the same weight.
Yes.
And Professor Kasturi said, Swami, it's easy for you, you are God. Swami said, aren't you God? And Swami said, you don't need divine power to maintain yourself this way. How practical.
Mm.
Swami said, it's just that I live a very disciplined life.
Yes, pure life.
Yeah, pure life, disciplined life. If you also can live a pure and disciplined life, you'll be like me, Swami said.
Yes.
So that sundarta,
that beauty. It's the purity that gives beauty. It is not easy.
And then Swami, that they said, what is beauty and what is being handsome? Mm. So somebody said, Swami, all men are handsome, all women are beautiful. Mm. Then Swami said, no, you are handsome and beautiful both. Mm. Beauty is from within. Mm. Handsomeness is the outwardly grooming. Mm. So you can try to look handsome cosmetically, you can put on all cosmetics and, you know, all the touch up on your face and try to look handsome, try to wear the best of clothes. Mm. That is just garnishing, external garnishing. Mm. But the internal, inner beauty doesn't need all this. Yes. That beauty exudes from the soul. So if you are all the time soul conscious, then you are all the time beautiful.
You'll have that tejas.
Yeah, the tejas on your face.
Yes, that comes from purity.
Yeah. Wow. But sundar. Sundar me, sai rupa me. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. In fact, you know, when you are constantly thinking of the Lord, you begin to shine in His splendor, and that's how all the saints were, isn't it?
Constantly thinking
about Him.
Really?
They were glowing in His love. I think that's what bhajan sessions also will do to us. If we really raise ourselves
absolutely
to that level, to that ananda, then we will only be beautiful in His splendor, in His glory. Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Sadam.